Jimmy Rogers, the Wizard. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
Tell him what the Wizard said. Tell him what the Wizard said.
Every song in those days changed keys and took me up about 3 octaves, you know. So I remember those songs. That was a lot of fun. That was sort of like, those songs were used on the other sides of hits.
Yeah.
And they were great fun to do, and they're written by Hoffman and Manning and some of the other writers in New York. So they were written probably in 20 minutes. They weren't meant to be big standards. But now, we were talking about The Long Hot Summer. You know, that's a song that I felt was a perennial song, and I guess it still is.
Absolutely, and it's amazing when you watch that great Paul Newman movie. It's a fantastic movie just by itself, but then... You start the film. I have the DVD, and you put the DVD in, and you start the film, and there you are, Jimmy, singing the over the opening credits.
Well,
a song that sets the stage for the whole picture, because it's a long, hot summer.
Well, that was a great movie with Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, I think, and it was just a great cast. But they asked me if I'd do the song, and I would, of course, and I wanted to work with Lionel Newman's orchestra. And this was over, I believe, 20th Century Fox, and they had a big studio there with high ceilings. And in those days, they had microphones like on the floor, and of course, we didn't have technology then like they do now. And I rehearsed it on a piano with a guy, and then I went over there and walked in. I was a little bit late, and sang it once. They had already rehearsed the orchestra. And they cued me, and they had me in a booth because you had to look for leakage if in a studio where everybody was playing at the same time. So they put their singers in a booth. And I sang this thing all the way through, and the engineer said, Jimmy, you want to do that again? And I said, I don't know. What's it like? And he says, come on in. So I went into the room and listened. And I said, why? it was everything worked just perfectly. It was one of those times when, to do it over again would have been the wrong thing to do. We didn't pick them apart in those days, Matt,
Yeah.
If they worked and they felt great and the orchestra was perfect, boy, do it again. And so it was one take. And in the beginning of the film, when I saw the picture, I was really happy with the way they put that in there.
Yeah. And that's a good point that you did it in one take or a couple takes and you don't pick it apart. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about early rock music is that sometimes it's the mistakes in the song that have made the record over the years. And not to say that there were mistakes in that record, in The Long Hot Summer, but I'm thinking about something like, remember in Louie Louie, The Kingsman?
Oh, yeah.
He forgets the words to the second verse. But it doesn't matter because it's the whole package. It's not how well, one verse was sang,
Right. Well, when I recorded It's Over, it was with Glenn Campbell, and I'd written the song in New York, and it's a story again where there was a young girl who had broken up with her boyfriend, and she talked to me about it, and I knew the guy, and the guy was married. And I told her, you know what, I think it's got to be over for you because I know he's not going to leave his wife and family. And I don't think he did, but I went back to my place that night at my apartment in New York, and I wrote It's Over. I started at like 2 in the morning. I'd been working at Carnegie Hall with Tijuana Brass. And wrote the song and went back and was in the studio with Glenn Campbell playing guitar. We're doing some rhythm stuff. And after we were finished, we used to do albums in one night. So we'd do 12 songs in 6 hours. We'd do 2 songs an hour. And I said, Glenn, I just wrote a song. And John Gary came in, the singer John, and he wanted to hear a song. He said, I need a piece of music. So we sat down and did a demo. And in the demo, that was the hit for me. The one we did, Glenn and I, and a bass player sat down, and I played I borrowed his guitar, his slack string, and tuned it the way I play. And when I finished the demo, I listened back, and there were a couple of bad chords in there, progression chords going down the scale. And Glenn only just heard the song once and sat there, played it all the way through with me the second time we cut it. And I could hear the bad notes, but I don't know if the people could hear them, but the whole idea was, the feeling was so real and so honest that there's no reason to go back and try to just perfect everything. Let it go, That's the idea. I was tired. My voice was tired. Let it go. And that's, unfortunately, they don't do that today. They'll pick it apart, takes them 2 years to do an album. And some of the albums are great, but technically they're used with click tracks, so the beat never changes. Nothing is real. And I disagree with that. I think we should start doing things live and having people make mistakes and letting people see what it's really like.
It's time, we're not a moving thing, and I couldn't make it stay.
From 1958, The Long Hot Summer, Jimmie Rodgers, who's live on the phone with me right now. Jimmie Rodgers, who just went through what could have been a traumatic experience, but Jimmy, it actually turned out to be an uplifting, miraculous, experience. I mean, it was a...
Yeah.
You came out of it unscathed.
I did. I didn't know if I was even going to come out of it, frankly. I was about the only one, me and the doctors, who believed that that this would turn out to be the way it turned out. And for those of you who, listeners who just turned in, they took a steel plate out of my head. It had been in there 40 years. It was 29 square inches of steel. And I've been packing it around and trying to die. But you know what? God's been good. I feel so good, so relieved that that's over, and now I can get on with my life. And guys like you playing the music was what makes it important for me, and I appreciate it so much. I appreciate your listeners, Matt, and I thank you very much.
Well, we hope to have you out singing soon, because you and I were talking off air. I would love to have you an acoustic guitar on a stool with a spotlight just singing whatever comes to mind. I think that would be an amazing show.
Well, I'm going to do that. You can bet on that. I'm going to do that as soon as I can.
Well, I'll come down from the satellite so I can see the show, okay?
Okay.
And your book is completed, and you just have to, well, I guess you have to write another chapter. But,
I'll write another chapter.
But it's pretty much ready to go.
Right. It's ready to go. The book is finished, and we're working on our publishers now. I'm very happy with it, I'm making sure that it's all the truth, and it's all factual, and all the discography is in order.
And discography. Oh, I just got a little excited there, Jimmy. I like discographies.
Well, you know, it's when you write a life story, you better learn about discography.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure you know all about that.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and you know, what's also an amazing story is your son, Michael, who I've been in touch with for the last couple of years, how he sent an email out to a couple of people, and it was sent out to, you know, those people sent it to other people, and it started circling the world leading up to your operation. And then he sent out an email telling what happened and how the bone healed itself and everything like that. And that circulated the world. And it was amazing how fast news traveled because so many people care about you.
Well, you know, I remember the night before the surgery, of course, I prayed about it every night. And I was staying in Hot Springs at a friend of mine's apartment area. Well, it wasn't an apartment. It's a golf pro shop and I teach golf in my spare time. And David Lee's Gravity Golf Pro Shop area there in Hot Springs. There's a big glass window over the bed and where I could see out. I could see the stars and the moon and everything. And I told God, I said, you know, I've been praying about this and praying about it, and I'm going to have complete faith because it's out of our hands now. And when I went into surgery, the doctors were playing my music. They put on a CD just before they operated on me, and they were playing my music, and I told them, I said, look, do me a favor, play one of my favorites. They said, what's that? I said, play some Johnny Cash. So they did. Just before I became unconscious, they put on Johnny Cash singing, and I forget the song, and I went out. And then they did a tape of a film of the operation, and during the film they were playing my music, which I thought was really sweet, you know. And the doctor prayed before the surgery. They held hands and prayed. You know, I felt complete faith. I knew I was going to be okay, and so did my family. That's what's important.
Well, we're so happy it worked out so well, and I hope to have you back on the show real soon.
Hope so, too.
And I hope to see the book out real soon.
Thanks, Matt.
And we're going to go out with Kisses Sweeter Than Wine, the great Jimmie Rodgers.
Well, when I was a young man and never been kissed, I got to thinking it over.